say sure. What's going on, donkeys? It's Donkeytron. Add me on Xbox Live. That's my gamer tag, Donkeytron. You can find me on Podbean, Stitcher, YouTube, iTunes, all that good stuff. Drop me some reviews. Leave me some love. Today I'm bringing you guys Survivor Series 1987. So last month, October, I did Halloween Havocs all month long. I did like five of them. And I started with the very first one. This month, I'm going to do Survivor Series. And I'm thinking about doing a couple of War Games as well. Just because NXT TakeOver is doing that as a pay-per-view. I think I'm going to add it as well. I might do a double review on the next one. But like I said, today's 1987 Survivor Series. And a little bit of backstory. So the reason Survivor Series was created, because it was the second pay-per-view put on by the WWF at the time. And second being as in separate to WrestleMania. So they had WrestleMania 1, 2, and then 3. So WrestleMania 3 was Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan in that super famous match where Hulk Hogan slams that giant at WrestleMania 3, brother, in front of 93,571 fans, brother. And I think it was at Madison Square Garden. I'm not sure. I should have looked that up. But he slammed the giant, retained his title. And a little bit before that, actually, so Andre the Giant was face, so was Hogan. Hogan was reigning 3-year champion. Andre was reigning 15 years undefeated. Both received trophies. And I think this is how the storyline went. Andre was pissed that his trophy wasn't as big as Hogan's for him having a 15-year undefeated streak compared to Hogan's 3-year champion streak. So Andre the Giant acquires the services of Bobby the Brain Heenan, one of the greatest managers of all time, RIP. Bobby the Brain just recently died in 2017. We've had a lot of blows in 2017. A lot of deaths, a lot of hard ones to deal with, but RIP to the people that have passed away. Bobby the Brain Heenan being one of them. But he was the manager for Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant challenges Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 3. Loses. So there's a Survivor Series. Because there was controversy at WrestleMania 3, I think. If you guys don't believe me. You guys can go back and watch it. But no. If you guys don't remember. So Andre is pinning Hogan, and Hogan kicks out, but it doesn't look like a kick out, and like, it's just weird. The referee counted a 3, Hogan kicked out, and Hogan goes on to slam the giant, get the pin. Survivor Series is made. I think that's what it was. I wasn't even born. This is a year before I was even born. So this is way, I gotta go back. I had seen it before, probably, replays. This scene is, I don't know, I've seen it before. But I do not remember any of this. I had to go back and watch all of this. I was too young. Too young. Like I said, Andre the Giant versus Hogan was the main event for Survivor Series because of the popularity of WrestleMania 3. So we have Survivor Series, November. But this was actually on Thanksgiving night. So we had a, not we. So the WWE had a great chance to captivate a huge audience. It being Turkey Day, everyone celebrating, sitting around after a huge, great meal. You know, creating memories. These guys knew how to do it. And a little bit of more backstory to the actual pay-per-view. So Survivor Series went head-to-head with Starrcade. I read this. It's got to be true, right? It's on Wikipedia. So they went head-to-head with Starrcade. And Starrcade was only aired on a handful of cable networks because Vince threatened not to allow WrestleMania 4 if Survivor Series was not aired instead of Starrcade. So Vince won out on that one. WrestleMania 4 was then aired on a bunch of networks. So he got his way. Survivor Series, huge cable networks. Thanksgiving, huge audience, dude. Vince is a crazy, crazy businessman. He knows what he's doing. He's been in charge this long of a successful company. This whole time. So, but Hogan versus Andre the Giant was the main event. The opening match was what I believe was the better of the matches out of all four matches. There was only four matches, but they were all Survivor Series elimination matches. And the first one was the team of Hogan versus the team of the Honky Tonk Man. Hogan had been heel for 2 years, from 1985 to 1987, and this was his big face turn. Honky Tonk Man came out talking shit. Want to talk some shit? Claiming he was the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. Ooh, yeah, let me tell you something. The cream of the crop always raises to the top. Yeah. So they had a little bit of a feud going into Survivor Series. Honky Tonk Man claiming to be the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. Macho Man having a super long streak with the Intercontinental title. Was claiming that throne as well. He's like, hey, hold up, fucking Honky Tonk Man. Who the fuck do you think you are? Hey. I'm all shook up. But I forgot who helped. It definitely had to be the Survivor Series team that helped Honky Tonk Man. And if I remember right, it had to be the Hart Foundation that held Macho Man while Honky Tonk Man pushed Elizabeth. Miss Elizabeth! Come in, Elizabeth! But, he hit Macho with the fucking guitar. I don't know if this was one of the first instances of someone getting hit over the head with a guitar in pro wrestling, but this is as early on as I can remember being told or watching. Jeff Jarrett made it look a lot better. I don't know if those guitars were cheaper, but this one didn't explode. He just took it right to the dome and it kind of just shaped around his head, around Macho's head. But like I said, the cream of the crop always raises to the top. 5-on-5 Survivor Series match, 24-minute match. We had Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Jake the Snake Roberts, Jim Hacksaw Duggan. I don't know if he had that name at the time. Randy Savage and Jimmy the Dragon Steamboat with Miss Elizabeth as the manager, of course, versus Dangerous Danny Davis, King Harley Race. I think he was coming out with the... Yeah, he did come out with the cape and scepter and shit like that. Hercules, the Honky Tonk Man, and Ron Bass with Bobby the Brain Heenan and Jimmy Hart as their heel managers. Those guys were always managing. They had so many teams. Like, every team at this time. And I didn't realize it till now that I'm watching all this old wrestling. All these guys were managing so many teams. Well, you know what? If you're a manager, right, you're going to want to manage different teams. They played up the manager role a lot better. Now you only have Paul Heyman for Brock Lesnar. But he's like the advocate. I guess he's his manager. Who else would be a manager right now? They consider the girls at ringside managers, but like we don't even have that anymore either. But yeah, who the fuck would be a manager besides Paul Heyman? It's usually tag teams or something. But I digress. Like I said, these guys always fucking manage a lot of teams, a lot of heel teams. Miss Elizabeth with fucking, ooh yeah, the Macho Man Randy Savage snapping to a Slim Jim. But awesome match, dude. We had some incredible wrestlers, super technical with high flying capabilities. Ricky the Steamboat, Randy Savage on the same team, but that's talked about as one of the greatest matches of all time for the Intercontinental Championship. I think Steamboat takes it off of Savage. Don't remember when they fought. But like I said, they're on the team this time. We got Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Always toting around that fucking 2x4. Jake the Snake Roberts with a snake. And then Brutus the Barber Beefcake with his scissors. I wasn't too much of a Brutus fan. I don't know too much about him. Like I said, I was a year old. His character was dying out from when I was remembering shit. But at this time, he was big. Put him in one of the better matches. I would have thought Savage would have been in the main event, but we have him feuding with Honky Tonk Man for the Intercontinental Championship. So that's why he's in the opening match. Start off the show with a bang. But, I think, let's see. Look at the lineup. Let's see if I remember. It was Harley Race and Hacksaw Jim Duggan that got eliminated first. Not disqualification. Count out. Double count out. They just kept beating the shit out of each other. So they got counted out. So we're down 4-on-4. And then, I don't know who got taken out next. I think Ron Bass was taken out next. Because I don't remember too much of him in the match. Or it could have been Beefcake. But there was three guys at the end. We had Savage, Jake the Snake, and Ricky the Steamboat left in the ring. And who left? It was Honky Tonk Man was left at the end and he just fucking leaves. He takes off. He's not trying to take on these three dudes. He's got three fucking savages in the ring, dude. No one wants to be in there. He's got Savage, the Macho Man, yeah. He's got fucking Jake the Snake Roberts, fucking legend. And then Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Come on now. I would have left too. Can't blame Honky Tonk Man. Still leaves Intercontinental Championship, or Intercontinental Champion. But he would have gotten his ass kicked if he would have stayed, you know, 3-on-1. The heels take it on the chin this time, guys. What can you say? They won't. You can't make the. It was a weak heel team. It was a weak heel team compared to a strong ass fucking, pardon the pun, savage team. They had a fucking savage team. Look, Brutus, Jake the Snake, Jim Duggan, Randy Savage, and Steamboat. The weakest one there is Brutus the Barber Beefcake. And he gets mentioned by Hogan in his promos all the time. Or by Will Sasso's version of Hogan in the 10-minute podcast I listen to. He's mentioned them. But yeah. I gotta stop doing that fucking match voice and that Hogan voice. It's gonna mess up my throat for the podcast. Savage's team win, like I said. Those three guys were left in the ring. 24-minute match. Opens up with a bang. It's me, it's me, it's DDP. The king of the bang. Then we had another 5-on-5. They had a featured match for the women. I'm not trying to hate on it, but the women today, it's called the Women's Revolution for a reason. These girls wrestling are wrestling exactly and on par with the men. Not all the time. You know, they're still learning. It takes more time for girls to get into the sport and to get at this high of level. We have a lot more guys doing it, so we see a lot more guys up there. But check out Charlotte Flair, check out Sasha Banks, Bayley, Alexa Bliss. They're all very talented girls without having to put on fucking bra and panties matches. These girls didn't have to either, but the level of wrestling wasn't there, in my opinion. I think it was a lot more technical, and it was a lot more suited. Like, today's style is a lot more flash. There's a lot more robotic back in the day for these ladies, and I don't know, it just didn't work for me. And I'm not trying to hate, but if you're trying to compare them, for this time, you know, this was a 5-on-5 Survivor Series match between women, between their best women. So you can't really hate on that. They had they have names there too. Some, I don't know a lot of them. I know the Fabulous Moolah. I don't know the Jumping Bomb Angels. I think it was a Japanese team. I watched the match. I watched the whole match. I watched all of the Survivor Series. Rockin' Robin and the Velvet, McIntyre versus Dawn Marie, Donna, Christianello, the Glamour Girls. The Sensational Sherry, and like I said, Jimmy Hart again, all the time, with the heel team. The girls got a 20-minute match, 5-on-5 Survivor Series style again, elimination match. You get pinned, you're out of there, and your team is at a deficit. I should have stated that in the beginning for people that don't know Survivor Series matches, but anyone listening to this should be a fan anyway, just getting my interpretation of it, or my ideas on old ass fucking wrestling. But yeah, your team is at a deficit if you lose, and it could be 1-on-5 if it comes to that. But yeah, whatever. Then we had a 10-on-10 Survivor Series tag team match, 37 minutes. I watched this whole match, long match, not gonna lie, but it had some names that I remember, that I knew of. They had the British Bulldogs, Davey Boy Smith, and Dynamite Kid. I knew the Dynamite Kid, not so much Davey Boy Smith. But I know the British Bulldogs. The British Bulldog is later in there. But then they had the Killer Bees. They had black and yellow striped shorts. Very old, corny gimmick. Simple gimmick, not so corny so much. Yeah, kind of corny, but more simple than anything. The Fabulous Rogues, I don't know who the fuck they were. Strike Force was Rick Martel and Tito Santana. Tito Santana is a really good wrestler. Popular tag team right there, Strike Force. The Young Stallions, don't know who they are. I don't really know who a lot of the other tag teams were. The Bolsheviks, Demolition, I know who Demolition is. The Dream Team was Dino Bravo and Greg Valentine. Greg the Hammer Valentine, I know who he is. Seen a lot of his matches. I think he might even be in the last 2K17, or he's in 2K18, I'm not sure. But I know who he is. They had the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. His daughter right now is killing it. Like I said, the Women's Revolution is doing work. She needs to be booked a little bit better, but I'm not going to get into her whole thing right now. Maybe in a SmackDown, I'll get into it if this shit doesn't run too long. And then we had the Islanders, Haku and Tama. They're part of the lineage of Roman Reigns, Rosie, Umaga, Rikishi. They're part of that lineage. Badass Samoans. These guys were the Islanders. With Bobby the Brain Heenan, Mr. Fuji, Jimmy Hart as their managers. 37-minute match. 10-on-10 elimination match. These guys, fucking who won? Fuck, let me look back. I saw this match, but I've been watching a lot of shit. Sorry, guys. I should remember this or have written it down. No, I should have remembered it better. I remember the other ones. It was the Face team one. Yep, Face. Face beat the heels again. Again, the heels taking on the chin. And then the main event. The cream of the crop, I guess, at that time. I would, like I said, I preferred, out of all four matches, my favorite match was the first one. Just because it had a lot more better wrestlers that should have been in the main event, but were stuffed by Hogan not wanting to give up reins of the company and taking over, in my interpretation of what I've seen and what I've heard. But, again, Andre the Giant versus Hollywood. Well, he wasn't Hollywood Hulk Hogan at this time. But against Hulk Hogan. Well, the teams, not them. The WrestleMania led into this, so we have both teams. We got Andre the Giant's team. Andre the Giant, Butch Reed, King Kong Bundy, One Man Gang, and Ravishing Rick Rude. With Bobby Heenan and Slick. Those were their managers. Again, RIP Bobby the Brain Heenan. One of the greatest managers of all time. Great commentator. And then on the Face team, Hogan's team, we had Paul Orndorff. Was he Mr. Wonderful? Was he Mr. Wonderful? I think he was Mr. Wonderful. But I think he had just dropped Bobby the Brain Heenan as his manager. And he was, yeah, that's what it was. So Bobby the Brain Heenan was bringing in Rick Rude. Paul Orndorff was a heel, so he dropped Bobby the Brain Heenan and picked up Oliver Humperdinck. I wrote that down. I don't know who Oliver Humperdinck is. Like I said, I wasn't even born. I know a lot of these other guys, and I watched the match, but I don't know who Oliver Humperdinck is. He was there, but I had to look it up. But Paul picked him up as his manager because Bobby the Brain Heenan was bringing up Rick Rude, and he's like, fuck this. I'm going face. Joined Hogan's team with Ken Pantera, Hulk Hogan, Don the Rock Morocco, and Bam Bam Bigelow. So Bam Bam Bigelow, a little bit of backstory. Bam Bam Bigelow was, like I said, everyone had managers at this time. And the managers, like Jimmy Hart, Bobby the Brain Heenan, and then we had some managers like Oliver Humperdinck. I don't know who he was. Miss Elizabeth was kind of with Macho Man. And I don't know who else would have been the face manager. But they all had their managers, pretty much. And they wanted Bam Bam Bigelow. They all wanted Bam Bam Bigelow. Mostly the heel ones. They were trying to get Bam Bam Bigelow. And everyone thought Bam Bam Bigelow was going to join the heel team. He winds up joining Hogan's team to face off against those fucking huge-ass motherfuckers. Dude, they had Andre the Giant, King Kong Bundy. One Man Gang was fucking taller and fatter. Maybe not fatter than King Kong Bundy, but he was fat. Rick Rude's the only one that had the fucking body. He was fucking cut up. But he was a heel, so that's why he was put on the team. But Bam Bam Bigelow joins Hogan's team. And compared to the first match, it's not that great. It's not that great of a match. It's more nostalgia than anything, and it's more the big names than anything. It's more Hogan and Andre captivating an audience and keeping them. They somehow found out how to keep Thunder in a bottle with them too, because what they did was very limited compared to what was done by the guys in the first match. They were so good. The promos cut by Macho Man and his incredible wrestling, the incredible matches put together by him and those Intercontinental Champions were some of the greatest of all time. And people remember Hogan and Andre for something that it wasn't. Like, I know it was so huge and nostalgic, But it was more story than anything. And I'm not trying to talk shit or downgrade it or anything, but those matches are kind of underrated. Not the main events. Those are overrated compared to the opening match we had here. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But like I said, we had Macho Man, Jake the Snake, Steamboat versus Harley Race, Honky Tonk Man. Well, those are kind of the two biggest ones in that one. But Harley Race is known as one of the toughest motherfuckers, and he was champion. I think Dusty Rhodes took it off of him, and then, or Ric Flair. I'm not sure. But Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair had badass matches with him, and they talk about how great he was as well. And how much of a tough son of a bitch he is. But those were the guys in the beginning match. And then we had this other match, just the land of the fucking huge-ass, muscular, robotic dudes. And I'm not trying to talk shit about them, but, you know, they had a limited moveset. And we're watching wrestling. So, what are we going for? This was a 22-minute match. And, this match was, I like the ending. I just don't think, like, the execution and the focus was really done right. So, Hogan eliminates a couple people, but he eventually gets counted out, it was a 3-on-2. Andre the Giant, One Man Gang, and King Kong Bundy versus Hollywood. Hulk Hogan versus and Bam Bam Bigelow. 3-on-2. Hogan gets counted out because he's beating the shit out of somebody. And it must have been someone in the match because he gets counted out by himself, leaving Bam Bam Bigelow versus King Kong Bundy, One Man Gang, and Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant wasn't used a lot. He was used in a couple spots. He was older. He couldn't use his body that much. He was a big guy, but, you know, it fucked him up being that big. He just couldn't do what he was able to do as a younger guy just because he was getting fucked up a lot faster. His body was getting fucked. But they didn't use him that much till later on. So we had King Kong Bundy, One Man Gang, Andre the Giant versus Bam Bam Bigelow. Bam Bam Bigelow winds up eliminating King Kong Bundy and One Man Gang, allowing you to push further ahead Bam Bam Bigelow's character, making him look strong. Hogan wanting to leave by pinfall seems kind of like, I'm going to pull my fucking card here. I'm not losing. I'm going to leave by pinfall. Trying to not lose by getting pinned. Trying to not look weak is what I'm trying to say. Trying to say Hogan pulled something fishy there backstage. Got his way. Got counted out. Leaving Bam Bam Bigelow to get two pinfalls looking strong. That's a good push for him though, for Bam Bam. But then Andre comes in and lands a suplex. Pins Bam Bam 1-2-3 and we're out of there. That's the end of that. But then we have Hogan fucking come. So, again, backstage shit with Hogan. So Andre the Giant wins and he's celebrating. Bobby the Brain Heenan's in the ring as well. But then we have Hogan come back and hit him with the belt. He hits him with the belt a couple times and he's chasing him. And Andre awkwardly falls out of the ring, gets out of the ring. And Hogan's left cheering in the center as champion. But hey, dude. You got counted out, bro. Don't come back after you lost. Stay out of that shit. But he comes back. And kicks Andre out of the ring. And it ends with Hogan celebrating in the ring like he won. Even though his team lost. And he got counted out himself. So I don't know what the fuck he's cheering about. Kind of fucked up. Hogan stealing the spotlight from Andre after Andre won the Survivor Series from him after losing at WrestleMania 3. Come on now, Hogan. This is the shit the fucking people hated about Hogan. He didn't know when to let go of the spotlight, even to this day. Well, not so much to this day. He was kind of forced out, so yeah. With that whole video and that whole lawsuit, he kind of was forced to stay out of the spotlight for a while. But that was Survivor Series 97. I think I'm going to do... Nah, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Which one? Because I might do War Games or I might do another Survivor Series. But I'm going to try to do that sooner. Probably Monday. A lot sooner than this one was. But let's get a little bit into... Let's see. Let's see what I got lined up. Let's touch on Raw because we're getting closer to Survivor Series. So, Raw General Manager Kurt Angle appeared on Miz TV on Monday. Nothing memorable about that shit. I think Miz was just talking shit about it, like from what I remember. Just talking shit to him about him joining the team and wanting the spotlight or some bullshit. Forcing his way into the team and giving Jason Jordan the spot. We had a cool match, though, between Jason Jordan and Elias. A guitar and a pole match. Elias had hit Jason Jordan, I think, 2 weeks previous to this on the shoulder. He had cracked them after Jordan was trying to, like, spear him or something. Elias cracked them on the shoulders or on the shoulder. Next week, Jason Jordan smashes Elias Sampson's guitar. And it led to this week's guitar and a pole match. They had been feuding a little bit where this guy had been throwing groceries at him. I don't know. That was kind of weird on a pay-per-view while this guy was playing. I think he was calling him garbage or something. But yeah. Jason Jordan actually gets the guitar and defeats Elias Sampson. Smashes the guitar on Elias Sampson. So I actually like that rivalry. And I wouldn't mind it if they kept it going. But we'll see where that goes from there. Asuka defeats Stacy Coates. It was kind of just a jobber match. Nothing there, really. Just showcasing Asuka a little bit more. Keeping her undefeated streak going before you give her more to the main roster and eventually make her lose, because you will have to make her lose. I think the week before this was the return of Samoa Joe. Or was it this week? I don't know. I'm mixing weeks now. Sorry, guys. But we had Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe this week. Those two guys always put on an awesome match. And they know how to sell it. They know how to sell that they hate each other. And their ferociousness. They know how to do that shit. But it ends in a double count out. And they both get added to Team Raw for the Survivor Series leading into SmackDown. Double count out. Beating the shit out of each other. Kurt Angle comes out. Says that's the kind of... That's the kind of ferocity he wants on Team Raw. And he added them there. So, yeah. I think that finalized the team, too. Or he added Jason Jordan. Not Jason Jordan finalized the team. I think that was later on. Sasha Banks and Bayley defeat Alicia Fox and Nia Jax. Not really important. Braun Strowman defeats Intercontinental Champion The Miz. Via disqualification. The Miz and Braun now have a feud going. I don't know if they'll put the Intercontinental strap on Braun Strowman. But The Miz's team at... What the fuck was it? It was a handicap match. Was it Hell in a Cell? Yeah, it was the Hell in a Cell match, I think. The Shield versus the Miz's team? No, I think Hell in a Cell was a SmackDown pay-per-view. Yeah, SmackDown pay-per-view. What the hell am I thinking? What was it at then? No Mercy? I think it was just a regular match. No, it was a TLC. Sorry. Yeah, it was a TLC. The Shield versus these guys or whatever. I forgot where I was going with that. The Chronic, sorry. Oh, yeah. So they threw Braun Strowman into the back of a garbage can or garbage truck, compressed it, and, you know, that was the end of that. But they wound up losing because they got rid of him anyway. So he came back like 2 weeks later out of the garbage can or garbage truck. And The Miz got out of there before he fucked up his car. This week was Braun Strowman versus The Miz, but he wins via disqualification. It's leading into a feud. Like I said, I don't know if they put the strap on him. We'll see. WWE United Kingdom champion Pete Dunne versus Cruiserweight champion Enzo Amore. This is great exposure for Enzo, as he's bringing great exposure to 205 Live. So this is great for both Enzo and the 205 Live division. Him being champion is going to help out a lot. But Pete Dunne, WWE United Kingdom champion, I saw him live here in Chicago versus Tyler Bate, win it off of him in one of the greatest matches I've ever seen in my life. And it was live. Those two guys put on. Those guys are cruiserweights with fucking power moves. Got a strong style, if I could say, but it's more of a European style too. I don't know. It's a strong European style. I don't know. He defeats Enzo Amore. He being Pete Dunne. You got to, I don't know. Because they're both champions. But Pete Dunne definitely being the better of the two. You have to make him win. You can't just let Enzo win willy-nilly about it. But great showcasing Pete Dunne versus Enzo Amore. Great. Cesaro and Sheamus versus Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins for the Raw WWE Tag Team titles. So this kind of throws a fork in the plans if Cesaro and Sheamus can beat the Shield members, two-thirds of the Shield. So Dean and Seth are scheduled to face the Usos at Survivor Series, but if they lose, it's going to be Sheamus and Cesaro. And I don't know why they did it, but I kind of know why. So they made Seth and Dean drop the titles to these guys, Sheamus and Cesaro, champions. They're going to face the Usos. It should be a good match. They're going to put on a good match. I shouldn't be pissed at this. And I don't know if they'll do it, though. And then it's going to be the Shield versus the New Day, because the New Day attacked SmackDown, or Raw, sorry. When SmackDown did the invasion, the New Day was there, and I think, yeah, they interfered, sorry. Big E interfered or something, I forgot who interfered, to help Cesaro and Sheamus take the titles. But that was the end of Raw. I don't know. Like I said, they're probably going to do that. I think they're leading more into it. I think I have like 2 more weeks leading into Survivor Series. So it's on its way. They still have a little bit of time to build a little bit of story. So a little bit of SmackDown. Let me take a look at SmackDown, whatever. Get the fuck out of here, you stupid ad. Let's see. SmackDown. Oh, yeah. Shane McMahon's dancing with the New Day. Sami Zayn comes out with KO. They make fun of this guy. And then Sami Zayn and Kofi are put into a match. Kofi Kingston defeats Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is heel. Still losing as a heel. He was losing as a face. Now he's losing as a heel. See where he goes with that. I'm liking the tag up of... No, not really. I don't know. Sammy and KO is a friends again after being enemies for so long. I don't know. A little weird. Randy Orton versus Rusev to see if Rusev qualifies to make the team. Randy Orton already being on the team. and there's an open spot. If Rusev can win, he qualifies for it. But Randy Orton stops him from making the team. Later on, we find out that John Cena is just added to the team after being a fucking free agent. That doesn't make any sense. So John Cena is a free agent, but yet he's still part of the team. I don't know. Weird. Because he fought Roman Reigns, if I'm not mistaken. At his last shit. At his last pay-per-view he did. He was on Raw. I don't know. He did come out saying he's a free agent. I guess they can kind of just throw that out there and make him a free agent. But now he's on SmackDown fighting for Team SmackDown. He takes the last spot. And then we had Becky Lynch versus James Ellsworth, which is weird. A battle of the inner or the sexes. Not inner sexes. Battle of the sexes. I think this is the only time we're going to see this. And it's pretty much because, of course, they're going to make Ellsworth lose. They're not going to let him do anything against Becky Lynch or any of the girl wrestlers. He's just going to get his ass beat, put over the girls. They beat up a dude. I don't know, kind of weird. They haven't done anything like this in a while, but they decided to pull it off. So let's go. Shelton Benjamin versus Chad Gable. Sorry. Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable versus the Usos. So I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if they did. So the Usos lose by count out. They get counted out. It looked like one of them was hurt. He sold it pretty well. I don't know if they were just trying to make Chad Gable and this guy look strong for a later feud after Survivor Series. Just so they didn't have to beat them, but it's a weird way to do it. I don't know if one of the Usos is really injured, which would suck, but we'll see. They lose via countout. And then this is the real weird one. So AJ Styles defeats Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship. And now we have a swap again. So like in the tag team division, we had Cesaro and this guy swap. Or Cesaro and Sheamus swap with the Shield. Now we have Jinder Mahal and AJ Styles swap. AJ Styles is going to face Brock Lesnar, which in my opinion, it's going to be hard to put over AJ against such a big motherfucker like Brock. I think AJ belongs on SmackDown. It's the right decision to keep him on SmackDown. It's the right decision to put the title on him, but I think they could have waited till after Survivor Series and not just done it on a regular SmackDown. I don't know if they're going to put the titles on the line, SmackDown, and I've been hearing rumors about that. I don't know how true they are, but I don't know. It's going to be Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles, and I'm not trying to talk. I love AJ Styles. He's one of my favorite guys right now, but Brock Lesnar is a fucking monster, and how are we supposed to believe that AJ is going to destroy this guy or beat him? Like, he's not going to, his arsenal is going to be cut down because he can't power slam this guy anywhere. Like, he can't pick him up and slam him. He's going to have to use a lot of top rope arsenal, a lot of high flying shit to take Brock out. I don't know. It's just going to be weird. It's going to not weird, but it's going to be hard to believe. So I see Brock taking that one for the Survivor Series. But yeah, like I said, he defeats Jinder Mahal. I think they put the strap back on Jinder Mahal eventually. They're going on a tour of India, so we'll see. They'll probably put the title back on him when that comes. Let's see. Anything good in NXT? Let me take a quick look. We have a good storyline going, though. We have Sanity, Authors of Pain with Roderick Strong and... what's the third one? I forget their name. The Undisputed. So we have those three-man tag teams, and they were all put into War Games. So we had Roderick Strong offered the position of joining the Undisputed and helping out his cause at further advancing his career. But he was giving a elbow pad the week before. He decides to put it on, but then right away attacks them and sides with Authors of Pain, which makes sense. It makes it a 3-on-3-on-3. And they're fucking going at it. They're going at it all crazy. And William Regal comes out and decides to bring back War Games for NXT TakeOver Texas. I'm not sure where it is. I'm pretty sure I'm mistaken. But yeah, he brings it out for the next NXT TakeOver, the next pay-per-view War Games, which I will be watching and letting you guys know my thoughts and review on it real quick. Like, I don't know, this week, this Monday, I'll try to. I should be setting a date if I'm not sure. But I need to watch it and see what's up. Not a lot really happened on NXT. Yeah, not a lot happened on NXT. Kairi Sane defeated Billy Kay because Billy Kay and her got into like a little scuffle the week before. Nothing too much. But we had them going at it. And let's see, Survivor Series. Let's see what matches. I think I already went over them last week or for Halloween Havoc. But fuck it, right? Let's see, Survivor Series. Give you guys my predictions leading into, since things have changed. Let's see, I'll start at the main event. No, start at the bottom. Let's see who they have first. They're going to have opening up Kalisto versus Enzo Amore. The title's already switched hands too many times, as is after leaving Neville, because Kalisto won it for Eddie's birthday, and now Enzo Amore took it back. I don't think Kalisto should win it again. The title shouldn't switch hands that many times. And Enzo is bringing eyes and focus to the 205 Live division, whether people want to admit it or not. People are watching it more. But he, I don't know, he's got people that buy his shit, and he's popular, so they're going to keep the title on him, in my opinion. But that opens up the night. And then we have a champion versus champion match. Intercontinental champion versus U.S. champion. Miz being the Raw Intercontinental champion. Baron Corbin being the United States SmackDown champion. I think The Miz wins. You have to put over The Miz. Corbin's young in his career. He's got time to build. It's not for a championship. The Miz is going to have his entourage. The Miz is red hot right now with his promos. He hasn't cut a bad promo in a while. His wrestling has improved dramatically over the years. I think you got to give him this one over a guy like Baron Corbin, so fresh and young into the industry. You got to give it to this guy. Alexa Bliss versus Natalia Hart. I don't know. There's a tough one. Alexa usually tends to win. It not being a non-title match. Probably go with Natalia winning. She deserves to win. She's been there. She's a leader. She's a great wrestler. She's got some incredible talent. Like I said, it's not for a title. So, I think you give SmackDown one of the wins, at least, for this one. Oh, shit, I should tally it up. Kalisto, Enzo doesn't really count. I think The Miz wins, so that's one for Raw. I think Natty wins. That's 1-1. Damn, the Usos versus The Bar. Shit. So the Usos, after turning heel and doing this whole day one-ish and being like cool-ass motherfuckers, but so have The Bar. Like, The Bar just being themselves. The Bar being Cesaro and Sheamus. But they're just being cool dudes. Wrestling, being tough. And they're both heels, so it's a heel-on-heel. It's a heel-on-heel match in that aspect. Blue team versus the red team. Fuck.
I think they... I think they put on the red team. Sheamus and Cesaro, I think, take it. Just because they're a lot fresher champions. I don't think they want to have them lose that early. Shield will probably take it. Because if they want the Shield to take it, these guys are just going to go on a losing streak. My opinion, red team is up 2-1 at that point. So then we have the women's 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination style match. We have the SmackDown team of Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Naomi, Carmella, and Tamina. There we go. I couldn't remember her name. Versus the Raw team of, their leader is Alicia Fox. Asuka's on the team. Sasha Banks. And then we have Nia Jax. And we have an open spot. I don't know who that open spot. Let's see. SmackDown. Who would they add? Bayley? Bayley would be a great addition. Alexa Bliss can't be in it because she's defending her title. It's even weird that Alicia Fox is in that, like, captain's role. I don't know, someone from the Mae Young Classic, maybe? Could throw them in, they're all crazy. Nah, I don't know. I say you go with Bayley. But we'll see what they go with that. But I think the SmackDown Women's Division takes this one. I think it's going to be 2-2. And I think we got the girls pulling it through for SmackDown in this one. Tying it up. Tying that bitch up. So then we have the 5-on-5 men's elimination, or Survivor Series elimination style match. Kurt Angle as the head captain for Team SmackDown with Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Jason Jordan, his illegitimate son, and Samoa Joe. Which is a crazy fucking badass team. Versus the SmackDown team of Team Captain, Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, with newly added John Cena. So John Cena's on Team Shane O'Mac. And I think Team SmackDown is going to pull ahead 3-2 in this one. That being, I think Kane is going to do something to Braun Strowman and interfere in this match. And it's going to be a four on five match, giving Team SmackDown the advantage, them getting the win. Fuck, but if Raw loses, I don't know if they do anything to Kurt. That's the tricky part. Maybe John Cena goes heel, does the whole NWO thing. Psych. Or maybe Braun Strowman doesn't get fucked with. If Braun Strowman doesn't get fucked with, I'm going with Raw. But fuck, I already chose Team SmackDown. Nah, I'm going with Team Raw. I'm changing my team. Fuck it. My podcast, my rules. I'm changing my pick. Changing my pick. Because it's my pick. Yeah, scratch that. Kane's not going to do shit. And with them having Braun Strowman, I think Team SmackDown gets beat. So at this point, Team Raw, I think, is going to pull ahead. And then we have AJ Styles versus Universal Champion Brock Lesnar. AJ Styles being the WWE Champion. Champion versus Champion match. Titles are not on the line. I thought it was going to be an interesting matchup between Jinder Mahal and Brock Lesnar. Not that this won't be. I just think that AJ is going to be a lot more limited than Jinder would have been. And it would have been a battle of the two beefed up guys. They should have added AJ to part of the team. And then put the title on him after this. I don't know. I just don't think AJ is going to win. So we have Brock Lesnar winning this one. Giving it to Raw 4-2, Universal Championship won by Raw. That's the match that's going to be won by Raw. Team Raw should win for the 5-on-5 men's match. women's 5-on-5 SmackDown should win. The Bar should win. Natalya should win. Miz should win. And Enzo wins, but that one doesn't. That's not brand specific. I guess it is. They're only to Raw. That's it, guys. That is it. I'm sorry I took so long. I should have brought it to you guys faster. I waited all the way till Friday. I'll try to get one out quicker, either of War Games and a new Survivor Series, and maybe both, just so I can get a whole hour in, or maybe I'll just come out with a half an hour. But I'll try to drop a new episode sooner this week, just because I want to get some more out. I want to get some more content out so I can get some more views, some more downloads, brothers. But check out all my Halloween Havoc shit. I did 5 of them for the month of October. I'm going to try to do a bunch for November. Not Halloween Havoc. Survivor Series. War Games. I'm going to try to go by that. And like I said, this is Survivor Series 87. Thanks a lot for anyone that's been listening. You guys are the best. Have a great weekend for anyone listening. And yeah, fucking love you, fucking cunt. Take it easy. My thirst just can't